And now Reverend Gregory Wilson will conclude the seven deadly sins. Greed is not good. I know there are times when you think it's amazing when the divine word from Sophia makes its way through my mind. But today they are here and they are, greed is not good. It's funny, we live in a culture where greed seems to be a value and an honor, but greed is not good. I'm thinking of the author Christopher Lash, who when I first read about his sense of acquisition we have in our culture, that we actually become addicted to the feeling of acquisition and not to the object we desire itself. And that this feeling of acquisition can only be fed by acquiring goods, things, objects. But if it's the feeling of acquisition, you can never get enough objects, goods, feelings. So eventually we would run out because we do not live on a planet that is limitless. There are limits. So I've got to thinking about greed, and what I wanted to address was kind of the opposite of greed. And I was trying to think, well, what is the opposite of greed? If greed is indeed based in the feeling and based in an emotion rather than the actual acquisition of things. And I went in the direction that the opposite of greed is justice. But then I got that the feeling that justice, how do you understand justice? Justice is something our courts do. Justice is something that a particular society may make up what is just and what is not just. In our society, we've concluded that through the regulatory process that so much pollution is just and a trade-off for a particular way of life. We've made that trade-off. We've made the trade-off that treating animals in a particular way is just for our particular way of life. And I think, well, justice can't really be anchored in the human mind. And I mean, the human mind can't really be the source of what justice means. Because if it is, it's subjective and it's different from each culture. And in one culture, it's just to have equal rights for everybody. And another, that's not this country, is it? In another country, it's just to punish people for doing things that it's okay to do here. The other day I was reading where a woman was talking to somebody on the street and she ended up getting 40 lashes because their justice said so. So justice, how are we to understand what justice is? So that it can have some sense of universal good and universal awareness. And in terms of religion, I think when religion's at its best, we look for what is, what exists. And religion, in a way, honors that or pays attention to what is. And when we get religions that move beyond what is, when we get religions that honor belief systems that are really incongruent with what the earth is or who we are as human beings, we find ourselves in trouble. So in a way, we need to figure out what is, in terms of our religious perspective, in relationship to justice, and also, how can justice be what is? Sound man. How can we work in such a way to find an understanding of justice that just is? This just is just, and really not have an argument about it. Is that possible to do? When we reflect on the suffrage movement, when we reflect on the movement away from slavery, or at least the process of moving away from slavery, which is not complete. When we look at income distribution, you know, how are we to understand justice? Some of the people that are getting the bonus AIG getting bonuses say, well, we deserve these bonuses because that's who we are. And then we have people who are in foreclosure and somehow we live in a just country. How are we to understand justice? We live, and so I'm going to try to do something today that I think is difficult. So I hope it's understandable first, and then we can decide whether it's whether yes or no to this idea of how we can maybe get a sense of justice that would become foundational to our thinking, so that when we think about justice in our society and we think about justice in our relationships and we think about justice for who we are as human beings, we have a reference point. Is our sense of justice congruent with foundational understanding of justice that we have? And it goes like this, that somehow we are contained in this universe. Now, Helen's oldest son, Jeremy, he and I will argue over this, and he's a bit brighter than I, but I refuse to give in. He says that the universe is expanding, and my mind says, well, if the universe is expanding, it's expanding into something. And he said, well, no, it's not. It's expanding, like a balloon expands. And I think, well, when the balloon expands, it expands into the atmosphere, but so it breaks down. So I don't fully understand the universe itself, whether it's contained or not contained or all of that. So I will admit my ignorance beyond the universe. I don't know what's there. But within the universe, we can gain some understanding in some sense. And we know that in the universe, there are galaxies that move and spin and turn and collide. And there's billions of galaxies. I mean, the universe is billions of galaxies. And there's solar systems that move. And there's planets and there's suns that move. And within the planets, and as they move in a particular order, it's just these things are ordered and they move with deliberateness, and there's laws that they seem to follow and patterns that they seem to follow. And in all of these laws and patterns of how these planets and galaxies and how the universe moves and pulses and all of that, and on our planet comes life. Comes us. Somehow our existence is related to the movement of the universe. Somehow evolution is related to how the earth spins, to how the atmosphere works, to the maturing of the planet. It's there. Somehow I'm 13 billion years old. It took 13, why this is difficult is, how do I arrange my mind to really try to grasp this? How long did it take me to get here? It took me, 60 minutes to drive up from Port St. Lucie. That's how I think if somebody asked me that. So my mindset is kind of narrowed and small. How long did it take me to get here to be with you in this room? 13 billion years. That's how long it took. We're part of a process that's 13 billion years old. That's how we got here. Somehow, in this movement of our existence and evolution, with clean water and clean air and food that's available, and how we gather as groups is congruent with evolution and congruent with the movement of the universe. And I'm today trying to connect the sense of justice with that movement. Somehow, justice is a description of the movement of how we evolved as human beings. Somehow. Because we're here. My guess is, if we would have never experienced oppression or injustice, we would never even be talking about justice. Because the only way I realized that something was that there was not justice is I experienced something that was unjust. I can say, hey, that's not right. That's not just. That's wrong. As soon as I begin to do that, with that sense of justice that I'm looking at and sense of injustice that I'm comparing it to, I begin to describe justice. When the railroads first began to move through towns and houses were built close to the railroad tracks,
And the sparks began to fly off from the railroad and got to the coal dust that flew off of the car, started burning down their hats, started burning down people's houses. Somebody said, that's not just. But we had to see the intrusion, the infraction, to know what justice was. Justice became being able to live in that house and be safe without other people burning it down. But if they wouldn't have been burning it down, we would have never figured it out that that was justice. So somehow justice needs to be other than a human thought construct, other than anchored in a particular society, other than anchored in particular laws. Because when we have done that as human beings, it has not worked. We do not live in a just society. Now, in some circles, I might get in arguments over that. Some people might say, Gregory, you're a little off the wall here. Of course, there's distributive justice. Of course, justice means harmony. Of course, justice is a divine command. But all of those things have variable meanings among different groups. So when I begin to think that justice is a description and a process of the fabric of life, I can begin to say, wait a minute, what's happening here is not just. Pollution, dirtying water, privatizing water. Have you ever read about the privatizing of water? I mean, how can that be? How can that be just? We listened to the president of the Unitarian Service Committee at the district meeting, and when you listen, you read the newspaper, you listen to TV, and we're kind of numb to the news we get, and we listen to it, and we get it, and we go on our lives, and sometimes it motivates us to do certain things that are good things, and sometimes we just say same old stuff. But every once in a while, we hear somebody who's involved in a sense of justice throughout the world, and they begin to describe the conditions in Darfur, or they begin to describe the conditions of something happening in South Africa to lesbian women to correct who they are as lesbians, the horror that they have to face. Or you begin to hear about the slavery right here in Florida, where at night they lock people up and they lock them in trucks so they don't run off and work. And you really begin to feel that in your heart. And you know that it's wrong. You know it's against the very fabric of who we are as human beings. But it gets confusing because it's human beings doing it. And it gets confusing because if I go to Taco Bell, I buy the tomatoes that the slaves are contributing to so people can have greater profit. And it really gets confusing, I think, in our particular culture at this particular time, because we look up in wonderment and we ask ourselves, what is going on in our culture? We live in a democracy, we live in a sense of freedom, and we have a government who taxes us, and we have faith in that government that with the taxes, they'll reinvest the taxes into our society so that it's better for all of us. They'll reinvest the taxes in an educational process, in infrastructure of our country, and they'll do right things. I mean, that's what we want, and that's what we believe. And then in the news, we are clearly seeing taking our taxes and giving to the private enterprises. So it gets confusing, but yet we feel like we've got to do it to maintain a particular way of life. It just gets confusing. Robert Bly, in his book, The Sibling Society, has given us the thought that in our particular time in our culture, nobody wants to take responsibility as mature adults because they are the hard decisions that have to be made as adults have to make. So we live together as adolescents and we live together as siblings. And when I look at what's going on in the world, it does look like there's a bunch of particularly adolescent males running around, marauding around the culture, doing whatever they want to do. And nobody is simply saying enough and stop. It's like the word enough has left our culture. enough. $100 million a year is enough. Enough. Stop. And nobody's saying. Even now, when the president's looking at how to respond to the financial situation, it's like he's looking at how to respond in a financial situation in a particular bracket, and some ideas are acceptable and some ideas are not acceptable. And the unacceptable ideas are really the ideas that we need. Nobody's saying enough. How is it that in the flow of life and the way the river moves and the way evolution moves, we've created a culture in which we're in that culture and it goes against our very breath. It goes against the clean air. It goes against the healthy food that we need to have as human beings. Nobody's saying enough. Stop. In reading some poetry by Grace Cavallari, I came across these words, and I don't want to put this responsibility on women, but she said it, so I'll say it. Women have always been the cornerstone of a civilized society, holding mirrors to their men so that they will want to tone down their brutish urges to fit the image of the hero in those mirrors, not to disappoint their mothers and their wives. To ensure the work of civilizing men, to ensure that the work of civilizing men continues, I hold that women must reject three dependencies in society. Those dependencies in society are that they have no influence on their men, that the warrior cult, males, and somehow I think we need to get clear in our culture, the people that are dominant, best I can tell, are a warrior cult. We have been at war almost every year of this nation's existence. We have been at war in some foreign country. We are, the warrior cult dominates in our culture. Our children don't get books. We get good technology for our wars. The warrior cult declares civilization to be decadent and softening, as if kindness and softness and sympathy and concern were a problem. No wonder Unitarian Universalist is not popular. We move in that direction. We move for softness and tenderness and kindness and care for one another. And yet, we're shamed. And those values are shamed. And the warrior cult ruthlessly seeks to render it extinct. What are we to do when these things, as I read them, are true? And I look at brutish men running our country, and yet we seek justice. In our seven principles, I believe justice is one of the words that we find there twice, referring to justice for all, justice for societies, and justice for individuals. And then I realize, as I take this thinking, that justice is a description, a reflection of evolution. Justice is a reflection of the movement of the universe. Most of the sermons I do, I try to talk about culture and talk about ourselves and myself as individuals and what it might mean for us. And I think if justice is the movement of a healthy spiritual and psychological nature as well as a healthy body, and I realize there are times when I'm pretty unjust to myself. What I eat, what I think, what I say, what I watch on television. If I watch television and there's an overall sense of violence on television that I bring into my body, violence against women that I bring into my body by watching television, am I being unjust to myself? And if I'm being unjust to myself, how can I be part of the process and part of the community that really brings about an awareness and a sense of justice in our culture? I take issue with the Unitarian Universalist changing the word respect to reverence. I don't know if that debate's over. But it's more, I think, more what we need to do is to be aware of the movement of the universe, aware of the movement of the environment, aware that we are part of the environment, and aware that the movement of the environment has a direct effect on me because I'm part of it, and I need to be mindful of how we participate with the environment as it produces life. If I'm not mindful of how I participate in the environment and the movement of the universe as it produces life, I become ignorant of that process and I become numb to those patterns which actually destroy the environment. And I do not speak up against it, I just participate with it. Justice is a reflection of the movement of the universe. If justice is a reflection of the evolutionary process, and I need to take that in concern as I consider myself as a participant in this environment, and I need to take that, become aware of that process as we talk about how we're going to interact as a community and how we're going to interact with our community. I think it's difficult to change our imaginative processes and change how we think, to change that justice is not something in isolation, or justice is not about a court system, or justice is not about something out there, but justice is part of the fabric of who we are as beings. And if I think if I can get there and really feel that, not just know it, but really feel it, that I become greater, have a greater passion for bringing about a sense of justice in our community and in our church. And that is what we are about. Gaining that sense of passion for justice in our community and as how we treat ourselves.